I'm Donnie Yuki, and this is The Girls That Get It. Welcome to The Girls That Get It.
Thanks. I'm so excited to be here.
So excited to have you. Thank you. This is like a quick little, like, I don't know the words that I'm looking for, but it was like we met, we loved each other, and then we were both like, let's get on each other's podcast.
Yeah. And here we are. And I love that for us.
And here we are.
Yes.
Saving the world with our voices. Mm, you're welcome.
One deep voice at a time.
One deep voice at a time.
Love that for us.
Well, Jada, this is such a monumental moment, I think, for sports, for women in sports, for everything that we're doing. And I'm so excited to talk about it because now you guys are seeing this and hearing this a little bit more in advance. So you're welcome, because right now it's a little tense. Whew. But we just wrapped the WNBA season.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, we did.
Yeah, we did. We did. We did. And there was a lot of discrepancy on how the season wrapped.
Yeah, there was.
I'm about to take that off. Let's talk about it a little bit.
You know, let's get into it, because I feel like a couple of things. I think the first thing that we have to start with is five games. A five-game series is disrespectful, and it's crazy work.
Embarrassing.
It's embarrassing. And to whomever instilled this rule, come to the front.
Come to the front, please.
We've got a couple of questions for you, because be so for real. There is no reason why we should have five games. A WNBA.
And it's been a while that we've been doing that.
Like, arguably and definitely, don't fact check me there, but I don't think it started as seven and went down to five.
No.
You know what I mean?
Definitely, it might have even started at three, best two out of three.
Two out of three is.
And then it moved up.
Yeah. So I'm so grateful that it's going to seven next year.
Me too.
Like, thank you, Kathy, from the people to you. Thank you.
Thank you.
But what a finals, because I feel like nobody really predicted this finals. Like, personally, I was saying aces and four, but.
I was like, you know what? They like the number four.
You know?
So let's just stick to it.
Yeah, y'all.
2 + 2 = 4.
Go off.
22.
Go off.
Go off. Do your big one.
And honestly, like, obviously we're not in the locker room, but how hard is it to win three of them back to back to back to back? Like, how hard would that be?
In this league as
well. In this league. And it's like the league is people, they set the standard. And so now people have had to adjust to them and literally build teams to beat the aces. And so Becky Hammon and company, I'll see y'all next year.
We'll see y'all next year.
Aces in five. Yeah.
Listen, we're sitting here on a podcast instead of going to a parade. So that should tell you everything.
Listen, and where our commitment lies.
Where our commitment lies.
Respectfully.
Okay?
Yes, but I just feel like this series was so emotional, because as a fan, as a spectator, who wants to, me, watch every single game that goes until the final 5 seconds?
Oh my God.
I'm like stressed, overtime, sweating, yelling at the TV,
overtime?
Looking like a psycho.
Looking like a crazy person.
And I'm gonna do it every time.
I'm gonna show up every time. I'm gonna lose my mind every single time. I was sitting there like this, 3 minutes into over, 3 minutes. Three minutes left in overtime. I was like this. I wasn't even looking at the TV for a second. I was like, I'm sorry. What is happening?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm also sorry, because I thought that we were not in a good place, but like kind of in a good place, because I did want the Lynx to win. Okay.
If we're being honest.
If we're just going to really talk about the real, I wanted the Lynx to win.
This is a safe space.
Thank you. I'm a mini fan. I'm a Nafisa Collier and her footwork fan.
I'm a Courtney court fan all day. Courtney. No, because I'm actually standing up for you.
No.
I'm standing up for you in the stands.
No,
losing my mind.
Literally. Yelling at my TV on behalf of Courtney Williams.
Absolutely.
And so when that halftime, when they were up, it was kind of like a cute little lead. I was like, okay, New York's obviously going to come.
Comfortable.
Yes, it was very cute. And so I'm like, obviously New York is going to come out of the gate.
Yeah.
And they're going to come out swinging, and we just, it's fine.
It's fine. Swing. You know what I'm saying? Give us a show. But like, I also, and this is, I know that everyone feels this way now that everything has calmed down. I wanted the New York Liberty to win at least at some point in their career.
Yes, I think
that they deserved it. And I don't know how long that team would have stuck together if they continued to lose.
Yeah.
With that being said, I saw the Commissioner's Cup. Once you saw the Commissioner's Cup, it was kind of like, okay, if it's not gonna be aces, I don't know what's going on over there. Mm-hmm. If it's not gonna be aces, Minnesota. That's just where I was. That's yes. where I was. So like to come from that and then to go to the finals, game five, we thought it was gonna end on Friday. And I was like, you know,
the link said order.
Friday, like, yeah. Once the link started speaking again, I was like, oh
yeah.
We're in it. Yeah. We're in it to win it.
Links in five.
Links in five.
Totally. Links in five.
Links in five. Of course. Duh.
Yeah.
So like once that shift happened and we had to come back literally 2 days later, I was like, okay, Links are gonna win. It is what it is for the Liberty. They will regroup mm-hmm. and rethink their strategy and come back next year and maybe if the stars align, whatever. But this for me, this was Nafisa's year.
Oh my god.
This was Court's year. And it still is because yes. we have Unrivaled starting in a little bit.
Yeah.
So like it still is.
Yes.
But this was really like for me, it was all about them. And I know that like New York wanted a win in general, but I feel like fans wanted Minnesota.
I agree. And it's like no shade to New York because what they're doing and like how they changed basketball as well, because they were one of the first people to respond to the aces. They were like, okay, well, yeah. we need a little something over here now. You know?
Like, oh, you're a super
you
team.
You know, absolutely.
We could be a super
and
team.
And I think
I
like
that was cute.
Super cute. And I think it's dope. Like they're like one of the last original franchise. They hadn't won anything yet. So historically speaking, go off, sis.
Yeah,
you
no,
know,
no.
like whatever. On behalf of the people, I just like you said, like many, and they were the underdogs. They, quote, shouldn't have been there. You know what I'm saying? They should have been there. But nobody had, that was not the finals matchup that everybody had on their radar. And so, like, yeah. I just appreciated that they got it through the mud. Like, they crawled and they scraped, and it was such good basketball to watch
so
them.
So good.
And you could see, like, their team kind of progressively throughout the year just become closer and, like, really.
The bond.
The bond.
I believed in the bond.
I did, too. And I think that they have a really good coach in terms of, like, X's and O's. Like,
yeah.
One thing Cheryl's going to do is pull some shit out of her bag.
Okay, 0.2 seconds.
You know what I mean?
I'm looking at the game like, it's over.
And like, Cheryl, like, what do we got? No, what not. Do we got? Yeah, what do we got, Cheryl?
She's actually my favorite in the last, like, couple of seconds.
Yes.
She's my favorite coach to, yeah. like.
Down the stretch, for sure.
Yeah,
Cheryl every
time.
I was
like, whoa. Okay, I like this. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. But can we just please get into the controversy? Because, first of all.
Mm-hmm.
At the referees.
Mm.
You know what? At the people that employ the referees.
And that's where it starts.
And that, what sort of qualifications do we have? And I think that that's an episode in itself about the epidemic of referees that we are experiencing in this day and age, because it doesn't matter what league, it doesn't matter what sport. Y'all are trash.
Y'all are crazy. And on 4K, on national television.
National television.
In 8K, honestly, it's 8K. We're in
yeah.
AK.
However many Ks there are, y'all are trash.
You're on it, and y'all are trash.
Like, yes.
I'm not understanding
and
at
also,
all.
And also, like, I don't know who needs to hear this, but this is 2024, and we have a rewind button.
We have a rewind button. Everything can be, we can see it.
And also, like, not only can we see it, but we can take a picture of it, and we can repost it and dissect it on the World Wide Web. So I don't know who needs to hear that, again, at the refs. But in the last seconds of the game, Stewie caught the ball and she walked. Notice I didn't say she dribbled because her feet were moving, but the ball was stationary.
I think Stewie wanted to go back to Paris in that moment. I think that she wanted to relive the Olympics, and she thought in that moment that she could travel to Paris. But unfortunately, we were still playing a game. It was still game five. And if you want to go to Paris, this is a great time. Season's over. Go to Paris, take the kids, take the wife.
Take the wife.
Oh my God.
Take
and just
the
like,
picture.
You know, take that all back in.
But girl,
wow. But
over here,
the last
dribble.
Couple of seconds of a game is not the time to travel. It's not the time.
But actually, that's false because apparently it was the time.
Apparently it was.
It was,
you know,
the
what?
Time.
We're the ones that are wrong.
Obviously.
That's
where the discrepancy lies.
Yeah.
Because she traveled. She took, then when she did take a dribble, she took a dribble into a pull-up jumper. that was just contested. And you know what? Some people are arguing like, on the way up, she got her on the wrist. Let's play devil's advocate for just a moment.
Not that the devil needs an advocate.
Not at all.
But let's play.
But let's play for the sake of playing. If she did, okay? If she did. If she gave her little on the way up. That is not the call that you call with 0.4 seconds left in the WNBA Finals Game 5. Because y'all, people are getting fought down here, basically, underneath
people
the hoop.
People are getting jumped.
No calls. No calls, which I respect. And that's my thing, is let them play.
Let them play.
Let the game decide the game. And yeah. That's what it is. But and if she let it go, not the call to make. Now, she didn't. So there should have been no call. We shouldn't be having this conversation.
We shouldn't be having this conversation.
We should be here in our Lynx championship gear.
Yes. We should be in Minnesota.
Yes. Yes. But honestly, like, I just really feel for them because imagine going out like that. You dug, you crawled here, and then you go out on a dumb call from a freaking official. I'm
not
sick.
Not just a dumb call, but the other team, in my opinion, I feel like the other team, they didn't give me enough to feel like they deserved it. I do think Jonquel deserved MVP.
Yeah.
And I do think because of the way her teammates played, not Banajah. Banajah, you did your big one.
No.
And the baby rookie. She did her big one.
Absolutely.
But the way that her teammate, the faces of that franchise, the way that they played did pave a way for Jonquel to be undoubtedly the MVP of that game.
Had no choice.
With that being said, my expectations for those two young ladies are through the roof.
For a couple
reasons. Game five? For a couple reasons.
You know what I'm saying?
For a couple of reasons. It's through the roof. My expectation, if you are not meeting the expectation that is placed on you, you take your booty to the gym. I'm trying to be respectful. You take your ass to the gym and you put up them shots.
You get on the gun until further notice.
Until you match that energy.
Also.
And my thing is, my expectation for Sabrina is that she would match that energy, and she did not.
My expectation for the situation is, and listen, we all miss free throws, okay? To play the game of basketball is to miss a game, is to miss free throws, and I totally understand that. Period. Moving on to the next sentence. However, as the most, arguably, one of the most decorated women's basketball players ever at every level, at the high school level, at the AAU level, at the college level. Like, she lost less than 3 games in 4 years. You are a major part of this franchise. Obviously, we don't need to talk about who Breonna Stewart is. You could live under a rock and know who Stewie is.
And know who she is, yeah.
Make your free throws. At least one of them. One, okay, I get it. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's a little something. Two of them things. Two of them things.
What's going on?
That's a mental game.
It's but her, now, if this isn't true, maybe her mental state was somewhere else, but her mental has been put through so much that it should be stronger than it's a mental
game.
And
she shoots like 84% from the free throw line. So it's just kind of like,
it's like, what's going on? And then to win it all, that's what we're winning it all on. I would want them to review it too. I would be like, actually, they give it to them. We're just going to do it again next year.
Absolutely.
Because I want a better game. I want to go out on a better game. There's no highlights from that game.
No. Well, there are, just of the other team.
Sorry.
Sorry.
No, that was great. There are. Yeah. But it's the other team. Even the little, like, the pass to Satu's sister.
Yeah. First of all, kudos to her.
Kudos to her, because she came out of nowhere.
She came out of nowhere. And that really is the epitome of being ready when your jersey is called. And she obviously, Niara, I believe her name is, she has gone through it in terms of injuries at the college level, on the professional level, and she has still found a way to get it done and stay ready. And she talks about being like the energizer for her team. And she was like, when I get in the game, like, I know that my team feeds off my energy. And they did.
They did.
They did, because
that's all they lived on.
We're having a different conversation. Energy. 100%. She came in, was like, thank you for that board. Here's an and one. Oh, Sabrina, you need a pick and pop? No problem. No problem.
I know how to do my job. Mm-hmm.
No problem.
No, and she definitely handled it. And I think that, you know, there are definitely some highlights around her. Yeah, I mean, everybody, I feel like Benaja and Jonquel, those are my expectations. The way they play, 100%. That's my expectation.
Yep.
When you go against a team like that, you're expecting them to show up like that. Mm-hmm. To lose when Stewie and Sabrina are not playing their best game, for me, is frustrating.
100%.
And that's not on Minnesota. It's on the refs and the way that game was refereed. It was horrible.
Yeah, and I think, too, like, I think it's important to acknowledge the fact that, like, there's going to be a loser, you know what I mean? Like, and at the end of the day, you can go back and you can pick apart moments of, like, referees and what they should have and should have not called.
Yeah.
I totally understand that. However, that was blatant. It happened twice. You missed the travel and then you called the BS foul.
Yeah.
And that, for me, like, the combination of the two with less than 5 seconds left is where you lost me.
And that wasn't they started early. They started, like, in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, y'all was on a different type of time. But then I will say, like, the basketball gods, for whatever reason, wanted New York to win that game. Because after all of the things that happened, Minnesota literally gave them the basketball every possession in overtime. I'm like,
I was watching, like, what's happening?
Yeah.
What did y'all talk about in the locker room?
And they still were barely able to, like, New York was barely able to get it together. And so I know that, like, Minnesota, I feel like they just ran out of gas.
Yeah. It's just like it just got to the end. I think also, though, like you said, it is a mental game. And it's frustrating when you already feel like the energy around a team, like you feel like the WNBA, or like you feel like everything is supporting this team and you're the underdog, mm-hmm. and then you're playing and you kind of start to see it play out. That really does mess with your head. And
I think
that even when they first won, they won at New York. And that, I think, was like, you know, like a grind, like get it out the mud moment.
At New York?
Yeah. In New York?
Yes.
That stadium is crazy.
Absolutely.
I'm scared.
Like, and the freaking elephant, like Ellie, she has a presence.
She be having people hold her purse.
She's like, you know what, you guys?
Right.
Flicks her hair back.
That long braid. And it could whip you. And it has whipped people.
And
I've
will.
Seen it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So honestly, I love it for her.
That's a lot. It's a lot. And also, like, the amount of people that it draws, the crowd that it draws out.
And New Yorkers are different.
New Yorkers are different.
Y'all move different.
But even, like, the caliber of people that come to the game.
Absolutely.
Like, we get people, too. But, like, I feel like New York gets people.
You got Spike Lee yelling at the refs on your behalf. Yeah, it's a
that's
different.
A lot. Yeah. So, like, I feel like for that and then the refs to act the way that they did in game five, it was kind of like we've already been here.
I was like, girl.
Yeah. We've already been here. We've already fought. And, like, nobody is seeing that, like, this is blatant disrespect. I feel like that was a big part of it. But I will say the way that Nafisa walked away from the court, I feel was so, like, poised. And I know that she was fuming. I could see that she was fuming. I could see that she was very upset. It was very visible. But she just walked to the locker room. She didn't throw a towel. I don't even know how her brain works. And she's a mother.
Exactly. She said, I am a mother. I've got to keep it cute. Let me get behind these closed doors. But, I mean, at that point, that's all you can do.
That's
all you can do, because the buzzer just went off.
Yeah. The game's over.
Yeah, but definitely kudos to her, because I, on behalf of her, I wasn't even in the game, wanted to throw everything.
I wanted to lose my mind. She actually helped me keep my composure.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, you're fine? Okay, we're fine.
We're fine.
Right.
We're going to keep it
cute. I think
it's
fine.
Actually, how long are we going to keep it cute?
Yeah.
We're going to keep it cute.
Yeah.
No, but yeah,
literally.
That was something that really spoke to me, just like spoke to her character, was seeing how she handled herself in that moment.
Yep.
And not taking that time to essentially take that win away from the Liberty, or to distract from them winning or anything like that. By breaking down or having a moment. Like, she was like, you know what? I'm going to walk away. And it is what it is. And then I'm not going to get into her post. I loved her post. I loved her caption. I love that she said, you know, like, I love my teammates. And you could really see that. And that's really what draws me into watching women's sports, is
100%.
The camaraderie on the team, like getting to know, like actually getting to visibly see them grow closer and closer together. The pictures, the moments, the off-court moments, like that's really what my brand is, and what I enjoy with the sport is, like, oh, like, I can see that.
Yeah.
Like, I see that they love each other.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a real sisterhood or brotherhood, however you want to spin it. It's a real hood. Okay. Like, it's a real hood. It's a real hood. Like, y'all understand what I'm talking about. But however that resonates with you, that's what I'm trying to say. But at the end of the day, like, I think that, you know, it's just a testament to women's sports in general and the direction that it's going. And all the people that it's bringing together, let it be like people within the sports community, within different sports, within the corporate community, like, welcome everybody. Cause this really is like a very close knit group of individuals.
Yes. Welcome. Yeah. Speaking of those different spaces, I did want to talk to you about your specific space. You're like an influencer, but you're also a baller too. And that was something I learned coming to LA. Like, ball culture here is so prevalent.
Yeah.
Like, y'all are like doing your damn thing. And that's so cool to see.
Yes.
So I got to see you for Beautiful Ballers. Mm-hmm. But aside from that, I know that you play as well. So talk a little bit about that.
Yeah. So when I first moved here to LA, I didn't really know. To be honest, I thought I was going to use my degree of sorts and stuff like that. But naturally, I got into the basketball community because I wanted to. I didn't know anybody. I was moving here by myself. So I'm like, let me just go figure out a little league to play in. And that will be kind of, you know, whatever. So I did that and I got involved with the Basketball Beauties. And from there, I just kind of started to get more opportunities and everything just kind of started to build for me. So I still do play a little bit. I'm actively trying to retire, but that itch is real. It's a real itch that I get. So I'm trying to sort through that, but I do play in like some pro-ams, in the Drew League, like stuff like that, which are here. It's like the best thing, the best basketball outside of like the W or like AU and its affiliates, like stuff like that. It's the best basketball that you can play. Like, we've got girls from the W overseas, high level girls, and it's just dope to go like play on Sundays. And then because of that, kind of started opening up different doors for me. So I got signed with a modeling agency, with a commercial agency, and just kind of started to branch myself out off the court. Mm-hmm. And I am super passionate about, you know, I've always been the girl that people thought that I couldn't play because of what I looked like. And I am the girliest tomboy you'll ever meet. I will look similar to this. My face will be beat. My nails will be done. But I want to go hoop.
Yeah.
Like, I want to go hoop. So for me, it's been about kind of finding what that balance is. And then I create a lot of content around that. I like to come and talk to people about it because I think it's so important, especially in this day and age, to keep girls in sports. Like, you don't have to give up the feminine side. We don't have to be this or that. Like, my face can be beat.
Your hair can be done.
Edges can be swooped and I will give you buckets simultaneously. And it's not a this or a that.
Yeah, and I think also what I'm trying to do is work with brands so that the edges can stay swooped. Everyone's edges can stay swooped.
Period.
Everyone's, like, if you want to wear makeup, the makeup can stay on and it won't damage your skin. All of those things, getting girls into sunscreen and self-care and skincare and, like, showing how important that is. Not everybody's born with perfect skin. I just found out that Jada has perfect skin when I did her makeup earlier. She doesn't have oily or dry skin, so.
Listen, just drink your water, mind your business, okay? That's my
My water. I mind my business. I didn't mind that much business during game 5, but I mind my business for the most part. My skin is sometimes oily, sometimes dry. Imagine.
I can only lead you to water, okay?
That's okay. But some of us aren't all born like that, and we still want to, you know, be girly and, like, you know, do all of those things. And then some of us aren't even talented at sports. Some of us aren't. But that doesn't mean that there's no space for you in sports. And I've found an entire village, you know, being a makeup artist in sports. And I think that it's important that not only women stay in sports, but if they're not able to play a sport, they still stay around that. Just being around people who are active, people who are drinking their water and minding their business is so healthy. It's so healthy for your mental. It's so healthy for the things that you want to do. It's so healthy for inspiring you, because had you not joined that league, you wouldn't have been open to modeling and all of these different things.
Totally.
And I kind of wanted to go both ways. Had you not, you know, done modeling, or had you not worked with this beauty campaign, you would have not known about the W, or you would have not. I wanted to, like, open both ways, because I think that that's so important, that women are just supporting women in every facet.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think too, there's, like, a stigma around basketball specifically and around the women that play basketball. And, like,
get into it.
Yes. And the lack of femininity that people think is associated with women's basketball players. And the truth is, like, that is not the truth at all. And people who identify as being super feminine or people who are a little bit more masculine, like their skincare routines are better than yours. So like, yes. You know what I mean? And so it's just kind of like this, I feel like we're in this space where we are redefining what femininity is, what it looks like, how people receive it, that sort of thing, because it's different for everybody. And it's like basketball, yes, it's kind of a more masculine sport, if you want to get down to it. It's very physical. Yes, it requires a certain level of commitment. It like that sort of thing. But at the end of the day, we all go home and we all have to wash our face and we all need to take time for ourselves and to mentally figure out how we can stay sane and all the things. But at the end of the day, like my femininity, your femininity, their femininity, it might look different, but it's all under the same umbrella.
It's all under the same umbrella. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's really important that you say that. And femininity is allowed to exist in all of these different facets as well. And it does exist. And I think that for a while, it's kind of been like hidden to a certain extent. Or even like when with the Beautiful Ballers page, I remember coming across it. They used to think I was a baller, y'all. They used to follow me.
Period.
in college, I think I came across it and I met a few people like in on the East Coast on that side of the Beautiful Ballers page and everything like that. And there was a stigma around it of like, these are just girls who like either can't play that well or like
they're just pretty.
They're just pretty or like
they're actresses and influencers. Models.
Yeah. They're not actually like really playing the sport. And they started to post more like, you know, like the Lexi Browns and things like that. And they were still kind of getting that stigma. Even the Lexi Browns were getting that stigma. And I'm like, bro, it's only 144 spots. She got to be good at something.
The hardest sport to get or the hardest roster to
the
get.
The hardest roster is only 144. I know we're opening it, but it's so much. There's so much talent.
That's worldwide. Like when you think about that's how many basketball players there are, like that's all the overseas girls. That's everybody over here. There's 144 of y'all that got spots. No more, no less.
So you can't look at somebody that's on a WNBA team, has a spot, has a roster spot and say, oh, she's just pretty. Like she's not even really that good. You can't say that just because she's feminine.
Yeah.
That for me is crazy.
Yeah.
It's not just Lexi that gets it. But a lot of women get it.
For
and
sure.
I'm happy that that's starting to change, especially like, you know, with like Angel Reese, Rakia, Cameron coming in and like, you know, being girly pops, but then also like playing like.
Mm-hmm. I'll give you like, 35 right now.
Yeah. And I'll come with some rebounds as well. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. And I feel like that's been really good to see. But it's been around for so long and it's been like negated for so long. Y'all actually be balling out at them games.
Absolutely.
Y'all. Yes. Like, yeah, listen.
Yeah, it is. Like, it's so competitive. And I think that that's like also another thing too is like, for whatever reason, competition and stuff like that, people do not equate that to being able to like be feminine. And you, like, you think about the Olympics and the rugby player. I don't remember her name. I think her name's like Lana or something. And
Something. Yeah. I love her though.
Yes. But she is a prime example of that. Like doing her sport and she's like
loves red lipstick.
Oh my gosh.
She's on Dancing with the Stars right now. Gorgeous.
Yes, and I love it for her. And I think that like we just need more things like that. But at the end of the day, it doesn't matter what level that you're at or you could be in high school, you could be semi-pro like me, you could be in the league, you could be whatever. Get your nails done, get your hair done.
It's okay.
Go hoop.
It's okay.
And nobody's gonna think anything less of you. And if they do, they're uneducated. And I hate that for them.
Hate that for them. Well, we're going to transition really quickly to a game.
Yes.
We have a game for you. It's called Shooting Stars.
Okay.
I'm going to have you look at a picture of a baller and then tell me on a scale of 1 to 10 what you rank their game to be based off of what you see.
Okay, great.
Okay, so the screen's that way.
Ooh, this is juicy.
Okay, ooh. I had to make sure I said the right thing.
Satu, 1 to 10.
Satu, 1 to 10.
Yes, I'm giving her a strong 9.2.
Okay, 9.2, yeah. That's high.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Why do you give her a 9.2?
I think, I mean, like, they call her a unicorn for a reason. And if you, just like how she's built, she's so tall and lengthy and the things that she can do at her size And she really kind of plays with a chip on her shoulder. Like, it's not like she has like kind of a, she's like, da, da, da. No. Like, Satu wants to smoke. And I think as long as she can stay healthy and continue to progress, I think she has a really good career ahead of her.
Yeah. I actually really love her, watching her play.
Yeah.
And I love that she's called a unicorn.
Yes.
That was like the first thing that I connected with when people started calling her a unicorn. Cause like, you know.
Cause yeah.
Right. I was like, oh my God. Because like, you know, for example, KP is compared to, like, well, not compared. You're not compared to it. We know you're gorgeous. But people call her a dog.
Yeah.
Like, they're like, oh, she got that dog in her.
That dog
in her. And she does. I'm a little scared of her. But, but like, she is a dog. I think that Satu is also a dog. But I love the idea of, like, you know, giving that, like, powerful feeling to a unicorn.
Yes, absolutely. And she... And I appreciate, like, she likes to get cute and she likes to dress up and she is a girly and she is a baddie and...
She's a girly.
She'll also give you buckets, so it's fine.
Okay, 9.2. Okay, let's see who's next. Oh! You go out to a 9.2.
I know, and I really stand on that. And I love Kalia. And if you want to just talk about sheer competitor, I'm going to give her... I'm going to give her an 8.7. And it's not because I don't, like, nothing against her. But I just, if she was a little taller for me, if she was a bigger body, I think I would be like,
yeah,
give her a little bit higher number. But I love her game. I love her competitive drive. I will never forget when she stepped over Sophie Cunningham and looked her dead in her soul.
Girl.
I think that that needs to be in every sports bar. You want to talk about iconic sports photos. She said...
The whole moment of it, like, yes, watching it happen, because it happened so fast, it's like, it's still to me like one of my favorite moments. And I like Soph now. Now that like I've worked with her and stuff, I do like her. She's cute. But man, that was a moment.
That was a moment. I said, and then for them, when they had to become teammates, I was like,
God.
Y'all are messy.
Oh, I was in it. I was in it.
That's like Marina and Dejanay becoming teammates.
Oh, man. Interesting.
Yes.
Yeah, but like it's also so cool to see like them, they don't necessarily harbor any feelings. They'd be like, oh, we're teammates, like now we about to get it together.
Yeah.
I love that.
Totally. Because the only people that can't like disassociate themselves from what goes on the court to like real life are people on Twitter. That's it.
Everybody on the court understands that this is like this is on the court. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like when I go court, home.
You wanna go, you trying to go out?
Yeah. Like
all right, bet.
Where you go?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, let's yeah, we're always, like. And that's the thing too, like a lot of times after games, like a lot of people don't realize that a lot of these people are friends. Like even Nafisa and Stewie are friends.
Yes.
So like if I'm in your city, win or lose, like we going out.
Yeah, I'm pulling
and
out.
And that's if we going out, because sometimes their schedule is really tight.
Yeah, fine. I mean, they're doing a whole league together. And y'all, I've been, first of all, one thing Black Twitter is going to do is put out a meme, okay?
Okay.
The memes of these two, like I saw one sitting at one end of the table, the other at the other end of the table, and they were like Stewie and Nafisa at their next unrivaled meeting. Like, girl.
That's so funny. But I'm sure, like, knowing Stewie and just knowing her heart, I'm sure, like, it took her no time to reach out to Nafisa and check on her, because that's just the type of person she is.
Agreed.
Still angry.
That's between y'all.
That's between y'all.
Yeah.
Because no, ain't nobody called me and make sure I was okay, because I was not. Anyway, Kali's actually like my favorite player.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a great favorite player to have.
Yeah. I just feel like I love clutch players. I feel like she has clutch moments. Mm-hmm. And I feel like when she won MVP for when Chicago won, like that was just such a good run. It was good to see her in that element, and you got to see her grow under Candace. It was like a new age kind of feeling.
Totally.
Girl.
And I feel like she's got to play with and under some of like the best players to ever do it. Like obviously Candace in Chicago. Now she's played with Diana in Phoenix. And so and I feel like this year too, especially with her getting on the Olympic team and that sort of thing. Like this was her year. She had a really good year. And I love that for her. And I just hope that it keeps propelling for her.
And her hair stay laid.
That little burgundy situation. Whoever's doing your hair, you know who you are? No.
Big ones.
Big ones. Because it doesn't shift. It doesn't move. And it definitely doesn't come out of place.
It doesn't come out of place. And it looks good every time I see
her. She runs and it's like.
Yeah. If it's curly, it stays curly. I want to know how.
Yeah.
I do want to know how. And she also has great skin too. Yeah, I've worked with her and I think I had like 15 minutes to do her makeup. I took like 25 or maybe 30 because I was not leaving. I was sitting there like this, just blending product onto her skin.
What do you do to your skin?
Yeah. So what's your skincare routine?
Yeah.
Yeah. I love her. She's like one of my favorite players. She's like one of my favorite people. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not ranking anybody though. I'm like, next.
Stop it right now, Barbara, my girl.
Twin.
No, literally, you guys. Stop. Okay, Barb. I'm gonna give her a solid. What am I gonna give Barb? I know. I'm gonna give Barb a solid 7.98. And I think that if she had like different circumstances and like if there was just a few things that went different for her in her basketball career and just in terms of resources that she had, I think that she really could have been a really, 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 really good player. And she has all the attributes. She has all the things. She has the work ethic. It's just sometimes things happen and it is what it is. But in our world, in the hoop world out here in LA, like to know LA basketball is to know Barb. Some of y'all call her Chelsea. That's her government name. Her name is Barb. but yeah, to know basketball here is to know her. And she is a great human being on the court, off the court. The bald hair, like you get it,
brand,
obviously.
Her
like,
brand
I love her. I love everything about her.
Yeah, I love everything about her too. That tattoo on the back.
Listen.
Girl.
And I just appreciate that when I see her, I never know, A, what color her hair is going to be, B, if there's a design, or C, if Do-Rag Barb is going to show up.
Because
Do-Rag Barb, she move a little different. And
she
like
move a little different. I like her.
Listen.
In my defense, I didn't think our conversation would get as deep as it did, but it did. It did.
It's the in my defense for me. Okay. So we're just talking about player to player, and I'm a lot of things, but stupid is not one of them. So I am going to give Breonna Stewart, I am going to give her a good, 9.6.
9.6.
And
that's
if
fair.
We're just talking basketball players and we put the politics aside, this is one of the most, if not the most, aside from like Maya Moore, Candace
decorated
players in our sport,
yeah.
maybe ever. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like there might not be, in fact, I don't know, Don, it's really up to y'all and what y'all got going over there at South Carolina.
That's
but
true.
I don't know if we're going to see another player that is going to lose less than 3 games in their college career.
That's insane.
And
still.
She has like every MVP. She has every trophy, championship.
Anything you can win, I think she has.
100%. And she really is like...
Since she was 5.
Literally. Since like pre-basketball. Like
she was in diapers. I think she won diaper league as well.
Yeah, no, seriously.
Yeah,
and
MVP
it shows,
of that.
It shows. It's indicative of what's going on here in 2024. But yeah, I think that she is extremely talented. I think the things that she can do and how she plays with her body, how she finishes, and really her IQ.
How she finishes.
Yes.
Her finishing
her
is
finishes
crazy.
Is unreal. But she has a really high IQ. And I think that that's like one of the most beautiful things about her game is that she knows she's like our LeBron in terms of navigating and seeing the game the way that he does. Like Stewie can do the exact same thing.
Yeah, that's true. Still rooting for the
other
team, Stewie.
Links in 7. Stop. Ray. First of all, I remember watching Ray when she was at Tennessee and Ray is a bucket.
That's what everyone says.
A bucket.
I know that now, but like everyone says that like in college, I missed the college wave because I just started really getting into the W.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, my friends started playing. Like I feel like a lot of my friends were like on the bench, like waiting for their time. So I wasn't really watching. And then my friends started playing and that's really what got me in. And then Ray came obviously here and she had a little bit of a rough start and everyone was like, no, but she's a bucket.
Yep.
And I was like, okay, well, what do we got to do to save her?
Yeah.
Because I want to see her play.
She is. She is a bucket. Good. Been a bucket. Will continue to be a bucket.
Period.
I'm going to give her an 8.3. That's fair. Yeah, I think she's solid, and I'm really excited to see like how
she goes,
how everything with progresses with her, because now she's finally healthy. Like, I know she had some injuries and stuff like that
right,
at the beginning,
yeah.
So she's finally healthy, and I feel like she's finally getting like a good
rhythm. Her confidence is back.
Yeah, yeah. So
she looks so good on the court.
She looks so good. Good on the court, off the court.
And off the court. She knows
yeah,
it.
Yeah, she knows it. She'd be walking around with those curls and her little outfits. Okay. I'd be like, come on, Ray, talk to him.
Talk to him a little
talk
bit.
Talk to him a little bit. Let him know. But yeah, I'm a fan.
I'm a fan too.
Mm-hmm. Mm. You want to talk about somebody that got that dog in them.
Okay, we talking about a dog.
Dog in them. I am going to give Dejanay, I'm going to give her... probably like an 8.7 also. I love her game. If I was on the blacktop and if I had to pick five, she's on my five because yeah. she is going to play on both sides of the floor at a very high level.
Like she's going
in. 100%. She's coming for people's heads. Like, golly. And I love it. And I also appreciate one of my favorite moments on Twitter as a WNBA community participant. Was some people obviously when she was playing against Caitlin Clark, she was getting all the racial slurs from the spectators in the like under the umbrella. And I remember she tweeted something. I don't remember exactly what it was, but somebody came back and was like, "Who are you to talk about this?" Like, you basically called her just a basketball player. She said, "I have a degree from Baylor, Stanford."
People like to forget about the Stanford.
People like to forget
people
about
like to
the
forget
Stanford.
About that, but yeah, no. She has it.
She has it, and I would be like, "You see this piece of paper for the free?
For the free?
Yeah, for the free.
They practically paid her to absolutely. Give her a degree,
100%. And just go lay the ball in, please. Like, just go do what you need to do. But yeah, so I really respect her for what she does out off the court.
Yeah.
And like who she wants to be and how she just wants to be a contributing citizen and like really make change, especially within the Black community. I really respect that from her.
Yeah. You said 8.7, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I had to make sure we got a number. <laughs> You said.
I was like,
so what you gonna give her?
Yeah.
She's actually one of my favorite players too. And I'm so happy that we got to actually see it this year.
Yeah.
She was like, listen, I'm gonna chill until they give us cameras. Like, I'm gonna always be good.
Yeah, totally.
But I'm gonna wait to be great when they step their cookies up.
For sure. And here's a little glam for y'all.
I'm gonna keep it cute.
Mm-hmm.
She plays the way that she plays. She does not sweat.
No.
She doesn't sweat. And that's because a lot of y'all are like, oh, how can I wear my makeup like Dejanay? Dejanay doesn't sweat. So
that's
start there.
You and your pores.
Start there. Get in the gym. Okay. Yeah. Condition your body. Once your body is conditioned, then wear a full face. And then we can go from there. And then we can try products from there.
Totally.
But yeah, she doesn't sweat. She's very like poised on the court. Like nothing really phases her, which I appreciate. But 100%. She's also fun to watch.
Yes.
Like, even like just her little like.
Her banter.
Her banter, you know? Is so cute.
Yes.
It's so cute on her. And I love like when she's like going in, she's very like, like female rapper, like rip me out the plastic, I've been acting brand new, like
facts.
Hair flip.
Facts. She'll block your shot. She'll foul you super hard and transition something and then get up and be like, oof. Anyways. Yeah. And I respect that at a high level.
I love that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I love her. Okay. Next.
First of all, that is my neighbor, okay?
That is not only your neighbor.
Yes. Not only is she my neighbor, she is my podcast host, and I love this girl. And
I love her too.
Bree. Y'all gonna be sick when I give Bree a 10. No, just kidding. Y'all gonna be sick. Like, that's really my neighbor. Bree, you a 10. But for real, I'm gonna give Bree... because also what people don't know about Bree is like, you see like her like flashy, like globetrotter stuff, but Bree's really smart. She is a really smart basketball player.
She's a really good basketball player.
She is. And I really respect that from her. So I am going to give her, I'm going to give my neighbor, got to put a little sauce on there. I'm going to give my neighbor a good 8.3.
That's fair.
I have That's to fair. Do it for my neighbor.
She's her. A dog.
Yeah.
You said she's what?
I said, and she's her.
Like, her?
Yes, her.
I was like, I'm sorry. Is she hurt?
Absolutely.
No. I was like, I'm sorry.
No, not hurt. Her. Yeah. Cut.
I was like, wait, when? What happened?
Yes. No. She's not hurt.
God forbid. We love you. Mm-hmm. Stay healthy, please.
Thank you.
Stay healthy. Okay, next. I'll say it. She's a 10. She's
like, period. I'm like, and honestly, I would just like to say Nafisa has figured out life. Because one thing that I'm going to do if I have a whole professional basketball career ahead of me at a high level, I'm marrying a trainer. You know why?
Yeah.
Babe, it's footwork before dinner. It's
right when I wake up.
Off the wake up. I need you to get my body right. Like,
yes.
What little chia seeds do I need to eat before our first workout of the day?
Yes. Like, what meal prep me?
Absolutely.
Get me out of the way.
We're breaking footwork down while I'm making dinner. Like, and it shows because she has the best footwork in the league. Argue with your moms. Like, she has the best footwork in the league.
It's insane.
It's insane.
The fundamentals.
Smooth. It's gorgeous. It's beautiful. It's neatly packaged.
It's neatly. She's like a ballet. She's like a ballerina.
Oh
she's
my
like
gosh! Yes,
dancer.
Yes.
It's amazing to watch.
It's
like
beautiful, especially if you know what you're looking at.
Oh, and the more I know, the prettier it gets.
Listen, the higher the IQ, the beautiful, the more pretty it is. Like,
I'm like,
girl,
wow.
Yes, it is. It's so pretty, and I really, really, really wanted this for her, but. You know what? Minnesota's not going anywhere.
They're not going. She's not going anywhere.
No. And especially.
She has a trainer.
Yeah. Like her husband's a trainer.
Has a husband.
Like,
so she's definitely not
girl
going
bye.
Anywhere.
And her kids, like they're already working on hand. Mila working on hand-eye coordination already. Like be for real, everybody.
Be for real. Like she's training her kids to help her train.
Absolutely.
So she's always going to be fine. I'm not worried about her. I just love watching her play. It just feels like I keep calling her a robot. She's like an iRobot. She's
like AI. Majestic.
She's like not, she's so real that she's not real. It's like everything that coaches have been saying, like, cause I played a little basketball in high school. Everything that coaches would say to do that you like forget, like even like dance, everything that a dance instructor will say, like point your feet, straight knees, all of those things. Like she
knows
it. She
cut her fundamentals.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, she knows it. It's in her body. It's ingrained in her. And so it's so cool to watch. And
it's beautiful. And I also appreciate that she's got a little petty in her. Like she's a little slick petty. And I like that. That's garnish bonus.
Yes.
Points.
A little.
Yeah. Because she, when she found out that she won Defensive Player of the Year.
What did she say? I didn't know.
The first person that she called was Gino. Because Gino used to tell her every day that she was a shitty defender. So she said, and I respect it.
I'm speechless.
Yeah. I'm like, yeah, you better call that man and tell him.
Yes. Yes. Can you page me up to the head coach's office?
Mm-hmm.
Who's calling? Don't worry about that. Just say an old player.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'll hold.
Alumni. Yeah.
An alumni. I'll hold. Mm-hmm.
Cues the elevator music.
That's crazy.
Yes. I love that for her.
Oh, I love it.
And I loved her post pregame or post game.
Post game. Oh.
She said what's understood doesn't need to be explained.
And she's absolutely right because I understand it and nobody 100%. Had to explain it to me. I love her.
I do too. I'm a fan. Actually, I'm like, a massive fan.
Massive fan. Like I've always been like a fan of her because I worked with her in 2022. Did her makeup for a short little thing. And also when she was coming in, everybody was like, Nafisa, Nafisa, Nafisa. I was like, oh, okay,
facts.
Y'all.
Like, okay.
Deep breath. Yeah, y'all like, want an autograph?
Relax.
Like, take a picture. It'll last
but
longer.
No, like, Nafisa, Nafisa, Nafisa.
Yeah, no, but now I'm like, listen, Fee.
Yeah, Fee. Girl.
Girl, I'm coming to Miami.
Yeah. No, literally, I'll see you on Unrivaled. I'm on the way.
Big sign.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do love her. I love her game. I'm a huge, this year has made me a bigger fan of some of my friends, like Court, Ka, I'm a bigger fan. Aja, I'm a huge fan. Like, always been a huge fan of Aja. Mm-hmm. But, like, now I'm like, bro, 1,000 points? What can't you do? When does it end? Make it stop. Just kidding. Keep going. Like,
Yeah. Keep
crazy.
Going. Aces
Give her her scenes.
Right.
Aces and four.
Yeah.
It'll be four next year, right?
It will
four
be.
Four games and then they're done.
Listen.
Aces and four, everything that they have to do.
Yeah, I'm manifesting it now. Aces and Lynx in the finals.
Absolutely.
Cheryl and Becky.
Are you joking? That now that is a show.
And it's
not even about the teams at that point. Please, refs, please act accordingly. It's not even about the teams. It's really about the coaches.
It is.
Because they both have.
It is.
Everything they need.
Everything that they need. Elite bags. You want to talk
Elite
about Birkins.
Bags. You want to talk
about
Birkins. Okay.
And they don't Target bags over here.
Listen.
Bags. But also shout out to the Target bags because we all have one and we're all going to continue to have one. So.
And some of us are in our Target bag. Moving up to Chanel. Hopefully getting into Bergen.
Y'all must someone? Not live in LA.
Okay, so you ranked her. What did you rank her? Don't look
10.
Back.
No, I'm giving 10. Her 10. Like, okay. I'm giving her 10. If she has 100 fans, I'm every single one of them. Like,
if she has no fans, I'm dead.
She's the pinnacle. She's a pinnacle of, if you want to be a basketball player, be like her.
Yeah, watch her game.
And because also, she is an undersized big. She is, listen, she's, they say she's 6'1". They say she's 6'1", which really means she's probably about
5'11".
You know what I'm saying?
She might be 6.
She might be 6.
She might be 6.
You're not 6'1", barefoot. And I respect it. You know what I mean? No shade. Because you down there playing like you 7'5", and I respect that.
Listen, so, you down there playing
you
like
got
you're 7'5".
A 7'5", big girl with footwork that can shoot the three. Go off, sis.
Go off. Do your big one. Mm-hmm. And that's what she does every time she walks on the court. So, yeah. 10.
10. Ding, ding, ding. We have a
ten,
winner.
10, 10, 10s across the board.
Yes.
Okay, next.
If you want to talk about somebody that's underrated.
Very much so. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about it.
Yes. I'm going to give her off the bat. I'm going to give her an 8.4. With like the greater sign, meaning like it's only going to increase for her because
Absolutely.
She is scratching the surface. This was her first year. Had she been with a different rookie class, and I don't even necessarily mean like skill wise, but attention wise, like if she didn't come in with Caitlin and Angel, we're talking about Rakia Jackson.
Only. I'm sorry. I know everybody did a great job.
Yes.
You all did a great job and you guys are all.
Y'all had a great game.
Sponges, soaked everything up.
Cuties.
Super adorable as well.
She, in my opinion, in terms of like a complete package,
a
complete package from A to Z, and the person that was the most league ready, in my opinion, was her. I feel like her game is beautiful. Again, another Lady Vol. Shout out to Lady Vol's Pat.
Yeah, they doing something down there.
Been doing something down there.
Been doing something. You know, they've been the ones and not the twos.
I love her game. She's tall. She's big. She knows how to use her body. And her jumper is gorgeous.
Her jumper is gorgeous. And I don't know how she sees anything through those lashes.
I don't either, but she can.
I don't know, but she can.
Between her and the lash gods.
And she keeps them lashes stacked, okay? I've never seen her missing a lash.
Mm-mm. And again, if you want to talk about someone's hair that's always in
always
place.
Always laid.
Little half up, half down number as seen. Yeah.
Just eating. Look at her face. Look at the face card. Listen, Rakia.
It's the natural lip liner for me.
There's no reason for you to eat like this.
No.
There's none.
No.
And yet you give it to us every time.
And she's not too loud. She really be chilling for
she's
real.
Chilling.
Like,
big chilling.
Big chilling. She'd be doing her little tunnel fits, nothing OD. We need to hear more of you, Rakia.
Yeah. Come on the podcast. I don't want to have to ask you again.
Young lady.
Come sit down.
Yeah.
Because people need to see the Rakia that I get to see. And she is a ball of, like, she's a freaking ball of sunshine. And I think that, like, her personality, listen, the girls love Angel. The girls love Caitlin. The girls will love you.
The girls do.
The girls do. The girls actually want more of you.
Yeah, we want more. On behalf of the girls, we would like more.
On behalf of the girls, that's all we want.
Yes.
More.
Fact.
Okay, next.
Stop. You shouldn't have. It's crazy that I have to be the second 10 in this after everybody.
I honestly thought that there would only be one.
I know, but Nafisa, she is giving me a run for my money.
Yeah.
And I respect it. You know, if I'm going to go down to anybody or if I got to go eye to eye with anybody, fine. It can be Nafisa.
I love competitors.
Yeah, like, it's fine,
period. And that's the end of our game.
Listen, until somebody physically actively beats me in 1-on-1, I'm not going to be like, oh, yeah, you can beat me in 1-on-1. No. Until the game happens and you beat me, it's a free game. I don't care who you are.
You're a 10. As far as I'm concerned, you're a 10.
Period.
So.
Thank you. Stop.
I love you.
I love you.
I'm so happy we got to do this.
Yeah, same.
You probably don't remember our last conversation. But you are from Utah.
I'm from Utah.
You are from Utah.
Born and raised, baby.
I recently watched...
Oh, dear.
The Secret, right? The secret lives of Mormon wives. Is that what it is? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So you being from Utah,
uh-huh.
Is there any light that you can shed?
I've been waiting on my opportunity. I'm grateful. I'm happy to be here. Thought you'd never ask. So this is for context. I am from Utah, born and raised. I grew up on a farm. I showed horses and I played basketball my whole life. And
oh, that's so amazing.
So wholesome. And I grew up Mormon, born and raised. I still am Mormon. My family is Mormon, the whole entire thing. Now, there is a lot of false things on the internet that all the things about Mormonism.
Yes.
And it sounds crazy. Like, in the things that I read, I'm like, you guys. Like, common sense. Anyways, I can go on a whole tangent. But what I have to say about this show is this. Is that basically this show is like an accumulation of women who have been raised in the church, were in the church at some point, still are in the church, have fallen away, whatever. And it basically highlights like their journeys and stuff. And mm-hmm. as you know, in any community, we all have our own journeys. Nothing is going to look the way that it's supposed to. Even if there's rules from head to toe, people are going to wallow out. And one thing about Mormonism or any sort of religion or any sort of like really anything that has a lot of structure from head to toe, it's going to breed rebellion. So at the end of the day, at some point, you're going to rebel. And that's what the Secret Life of Mormon Wives are, is you're seeing a bunch of people that wanted to try different things, experiment, whatever, but just happened to go to church at some point in time. And because it's good clickbait, they put it in the thing. So it's really not, has nothing to do with like the church or what it stands for or like what we believe in, like anything. It's just like apparently good TV.
apparently good TV.
Yeah.
I asked because I think there were like a lot of moments in the show where it was like, oh, like we do all of these things that are pretty secular, but this we won't do. Like, or like, you know, like, and it was kind of like for me, because I grew up in the church as well, not the Latter Day Saint. I don't know what it is. Latter Day
Church Saints. Of Jesus Christ of Latter Day Saints.
There it is. Yeah. There it is. Because she's actually a Mormon, guys. I ended up going to what is it?
Non-denominational.
Non-denominational. Now it sounds like I'm not a Christian.
I'm like, do you? Just kidding. Like,
are you in church?
Yeah.
Yes, non-denominational. I went to church, like, it was very cultural because I'm Nigerian. So I didn't really know about denominations until I was older. So that kind of like, even now, I'm still kind of like, what? But with that being said, as strict as like my culture as a Nigerian or like any African or Caribbean family, the upbringing is strict and you add church to that, I felt like Mormons' lives would be stricter, if that makes sense.
For sure.
I think that that's also kind of like the what's on there. So like in terms of like being Mormon, like what was that like in terms of building that relationship with Christ? Because you know, we have Catholic, we have Mormon, we have non-denominational, we have all these different areas. Mm-hmm. And as a woman who loves Jesus, I feel like sometimes people can make it seem like loving Christ is like the hardest.
A chore. Yep. No,
daily.
Yeah, no, literally a daily chore. And honestly, sometimes it kind of is like when you're in the nitty gritty of it all. But you know, I grew up, and like the Mormon culture, the culture of the church is, it's just like any other branch of Christianity, right? There's things that you're not supposed to do. There's things that you should do. And that's just kind of what it is. And for the most majority, I mean, and that's with any group that you have, like on a basketball team, for example, there's going to be girls that do everything right the first time that are going to be like cookie cutter, follow the rules. There's going to be girls like, first of all, you're supposed to come off the screen this way, not this way. But she's going to go off the screen whatever way, but she's on the team still. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that's kind of what it's like. There's, in Mormonism, in any religious group, like there's people that are super duper strict with it. There's people that are a little bit more lenient. But at the end of the day, those are their beliefs. And so because people associate people of the church as like polygamists, for example. That's like one of the big stereotypes that come with Mormonism.
Really?
And it couldn't be further from the truth, actually. Like we believe in like families, eternal families, like marriage between like having a husband and a wife, like the whole entire thing, right?
Yeah.
And so there is like a lot of like controversy in terms of like the rules to follow and all those things. And honestly, like I can say I have lived on both sides of the coin. Like I grew up being like very strict and like following all the things. And then when I moved away, when I went to school, I did the same thing. Like, I was a rebel. I tried anything under, not anything under the moon. Let me not make myself sound crazy, but.
Maybe not everything under the moon.
Not everything under the moon.
A couple things.
And I was just curious, like, it's a very human experience, I feel like, you know, but at the end of the day, like, when it comes down to, like, doctrine and, like, my relationship with Christ and the things that I believe in and, like, how I align, I do align with a lot of the teachings, you know, but then, like, I break it down even further. And for me, like, what it really comes down to is, like, I just want to be the best person that I can be. I want to be a part of something that inspires me to be a better person every day. Mm-hmm. And I just want to love the people that are around me, the people that I come across. And personally, all the details, all the you cans and can'ts and whatever, I truly believe is going to be sorted out in the next life when everything happens.
Yeah.
And it's not our job to judge. It's not my job to tell you what you can and cannot do. I could give zeros.
Literally.
You know? But at the end of the day, love yours, love Jesus, and we'll figure it out.
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
We'll figure it out. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for coming on my show.
Thank you for having me. This has been so good.
We're just girls.
Yeah, that's it.
Well, thank you so much. And I love this conversation from top to bottom.
Thank you. I can't wait to have you on my podcast.
Yes,
our podcast.
Coming.
Insert Brie here.
Yes. Brie.
Yeah, Brie.
All right. Well, I love you, girl.
Likewise.